The efforts aligns with Indonesia's broader push to expand digital infrastructure across remote regions, narrowing the connectivity gap and supporting local economic growth. So, VOI listeners, if you want to know more updates and news from all across Indonesia, make sure to check out our website at rri.go.id, where you can get a lot of information, and of course, the information that you got there will be comprehensive and credible because it is the news portal of Radio Republik Indonesia. So stay updated with a trusted source only at rri.go.id, your reliable online news portal. Minister of Creative Economy Teuku Rifki Harsha said Monday that media plays a crucial role in advancing Indonesia's creative industry by connecting stakeholders and promoting local products. This was stated from Harsha during a visit to Antara Heritage Center in Jakarta. Indonesia's National Collective Management Agency on Monday launched a digital system called Inspiration to simplify and centralize royalty payments for music creators under a new one-stop policy aimed at improving transparency and accountability. This was stated by the LMKN, or the agency head for creators, Andi Mulhanan Tombolututu, in a statement Monday. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. DOI listeners, now I'll be playing you a song that can boost up your mood, entitled Balada Insan Muda, or It's About the Young and the Youth. Because no matter what age, you need to be always young spirited. I believe so. So let me play you this song by Dis Korea.
Hiasi cakrawala di hatiku, melihat dua indah bola mata di panasmu. Kala pipi berkata, ku inginkan dirimu jadi intan permata di hatiku. Tak perlu kau bicara, dewa dewi asmara bersatu untuk kau dan aku. Meskipun bintang tak temani malam, terang pun terasa gelap. Ku kan setia bersamamu kasih. Berkata, ku inginkan dirimu jadi intan permata di hatiku. Tak perlu kau bicara, dewa-dewi asmara bersatu untuk kau dan aku. Janjiku, ku kan setia bersama
Cinta bersama. Siapa kawan, kajaran peduli. of Indonesia. The Overseas Service of Radio Republic Indonesia broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Whether you're unwinding by the beach or enjoying a spirited night out, we encourage you to do so with a sense of responsibility. Indonesia welcomes the responsible traveler, where joy and duty dance in harmony, creating memories that are not just unforgettable, but also respectful of the vibrant cultures and the stunning environments that surround us.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Gemar sekali kita bersilat lidah. Sejak langit gelap hingga kembali cerah. Oh, gemar sekali kita berbeda pandang. Semula meradang, terkadang kembali terang. Aku atau dirimu, entah karena
VOI listeners, after this, I'm going to play you a program of Voice of Indonesia. It's called Power Talk, and the talk is with the Russian ambassador. Enjoy.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to Power Talks, a collaboration between Indonesia Business Post and Radio Republic of Indonesia, a podcast series. My name is Anlis. It's a great honor for me today to have His Excellency, Mr. Sergey Tolchanov, if I'm pronounce it correctly. So we will talk about Indonesia's relation with Russia, bilateral relation, investment, trade, and also the broader geopolitical shift in today's world. So welcome, Mr. Tolchanov. Thank you for welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So, maybe we can start with the first questions about BRICS directly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Your Excellency, how do you see Indonesia's growing role within the BRICS framework?
Well, first of all, let me say that I'm very glad that since January this year, Indonesia became a new full-fledged member of BRICS. And well, I will not say that it will. It was a result of my efforts, but of course we did. And I also would like to stress that all the formal activities and steps ensuring membership of Indonesia in BRICS has been done under Russian chairmanship that had been held in 2024. And well, I remember that Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Pak Sugiono, told me that next day after his nomination to this post, he flew to Kazan when Russia organized the summit of BRICS, and he delivered official request of Indonesia to be a full-fledged member of BRICS. And even for the Indonesian side, it was a big surprise that less than 3 months, not only Russia, but all the members of BRICS managed to work out this request and get a final decision. So that's why I'm very happy. And, well, what is BRICS for Indonesia? I believe it's very important that, so it's a very common expression, you are not alone. You are not alone in this very complicated world. And there are quite many different organizations. Of course, even my country, Russia, we are UN-centered policy. We are following this policy. There are G20, ASEAN, APEC, Shanghai Cooperation Organization, different structures. But BRICS, it's like a group of like-minded countries. It's not against West. It's just non-West countries representing what sometimes we call in Global South, Global East, or something like this. But on a group of countries when Indonesia and some others, they can follow their own point of view, their own policy, like here in Indonesia, active and independent foreign policy. This is very important, not to fear to express your own opinion and not to get any instructions or requests from other side.
Yeah.
So this is, I believe, what is a brick for Indonesia.
Okay. Thank you for saying that. So you told me that BRICS is a group of same-minded countries. By Indonesia becoming the fully member of BRICS right now, do you think Indonesia has its opportunity to also shaping the policy and also the agenda, the norms and the agenda of BRICS so Indonesia can be more having more scene in the geopolitical, international geopolitical scene?
Yes, for both questions, of course, I believe so. Membership of Indonesian BRICS will amplify the voice of Indonesia. It's make you more sounded and to hear, and not, it will be not single voice, but it was, it will be voice of now 11 countries. So it, and 11 countries that are representative more than half of population of our planet. So this is very important. And regarding the first part of your question, of course, yes, because, you know, it's not, we have heard quite many times about Western point of view about this so-called rules-based world order, but nobody knows what is the rules and who is the writer of or author of these rules. Here it's very clear in BRICS, because every country has its voice and every country participated in shaping agenda, program, and final documents of BRICS. So it means that we take into account the position, the opinion, point of view of any BRICS member. So that's why it's, I believe so, it's also very important, not just to come to Kazan or to where it will be. It have been already done in Brasilia in July, and just to listen what the big guys will tell you. You are,
you have your own voice.
Normal participant, you have your own voice. You are very correct in that.
Okay, so by participating in BRICS, Indonesia will have its opportunity in global scene to shaping the norms, the agenda, and also to participate in global governance.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, thank you. And also in the last SPIV, St. Petersburg conference, President Prabowo said, and I quote, one of the big mistakes of many countries in Southeast Asia is that we tend to always follow the biggest and the most powerful power in the world. Do you think Indonesia's membership in BRICS is also to reduce dependency on Western countries?
Yes, I do believe, and I also have heard the speech of President Prabowo in St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. It was a really keynote speech, and I completely agree that it means that now you are not one who follow instructions or any other countries. You have your own point of view, you are following your own agenda. And also, membership of Indonesia in BRICS, it also enlarge scope of BRICS, because Indonesia is the at this moment the first Southeast Asian countries full-fledged member of BRICS. Some other countries are BRICS partners, but member is only Indonesia. And it means that at least at this moment, Indonesia will be not simply voice of South or voice of, but it will be voice of the region.
So
this is also important for BRICS and important for Indonesia, and I completely agree.
Okay, and so by joining BRICS, it also means that Indonesia's joining the NDB, New Development Bank.
Yes.
So can you tell us more?
Well, so sorry, and it's not at this moment it's not directly. So because it's different procedure.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, Indonesia expressed its desire to become member of New Development Bank, but at this moment, I believe so, it's still some talks, and this procedure should be finalized.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean that every BRICS member is a member of NDP, so it's separate processes. But if I'm not mistaken, when Ibo Rose from Brazil, head of NDP, was here, and it was confirmed that Indonesia would like be on board, and so I believe it's just a question of time.
All right. And it's also stated by, I don't know, the former Ministry of Finance?
Yes.
Ibu Sri Mulyani?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, okay, because do you think NDB will also give a lot of opportunities and to, for Indonesia?
Yes, I believe yes, because well, I'm not a big expert in DP, but I know that they are working not only with BRICS members, but in broad scope, and they would like to. BRICS have many partners, and NDP is ready to work with them. And but of course, for a member of BRICS, it will be much more opportunities, and I'm. Believe so, NDP will be involved in some big projects here in Indonesia.
Okay, because one of the opportunities of becoming a member of NDP is Indonesia can borrow, can have a financial borrow in local currency. Is that yes. correct? Is that already applied now to other BRICS member who is also the NDP's member?
Well, the NDP use different currencies, and it depends on the project, on the country. But even my country, Russia, we have collaboration with NDP and some other countries. It's also like a new player in the world market. They're trying to be active. But I believe so, step by step, NDP will be more visible in the world and even here in Indonesia.
Okay. But the NDP itself, it is founded by BRICS members,
yes.
right?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. So, I'm sorry, I'm still in this
yes.
NDP context, because I know that Russia was excluded from SWIFT cross-border international payment system. And Indonesia is very heavy on US dollar as well. And our debt and reserves, or gold reserve, is more in US dollar. With Russia that also has its own problem, and Indonesia is very heavy on US dollar, do you believe and that NDB can help Indonesia like, for example, borrowing in our local currency one day? Do you believe that?
Well, I can say only I believe it, but it should, I believe so. You should discuss this issue with someone from NDB because they know the rules. I can repeat that I'm not an expert here. But in more broader scope, when it comes to BRICS, I believe one of the main tasks, that it have been discussed during some summits already, because, you know, in the BRICS framework, it's not only Russia who is under Western sanctions, but also Iran, for example, China now, it's under big pressure from some Western
yeah.
countries. So that's why the issue of what we call sometimes independent financial systems, independent systems of financial settlements and payments, it's one of the main topics maybe of BRICS cooperation when it comes to economic and financial issues. And I really do believe that BRICS members should think very carefully about this issue because it's important for everyone.
Yeah.
And this independent system, of course, it will be no non-dollar. And non-euro
yeah.
also.
Yeah.
So, and what we can use, national currencies, maybe a currency from any third countries, so sometimes we call it currency of friendly countries, or even maybe, but probably in the very far, far future of BRICS, to think about BRICS currency.
BRICS currency,
who
yeah.
knows, but of course not at this stage because it's too early. But well, maybe yes, but not to depend on the West in these payments, settlements. It's very important for both because nobody knows who will be next.
Yeah.
Under sanctions, I mean.
All right. Okay. So, last questions about BRICS. With global economic uncertainties, how can BRICS cooperation create resilience and share growth opportunities among its members?
Well, when it comes to resilience, I believe that this we have already mentioned about independent financial system, this is one of the issues. And also there are maybe at beginning stage, at preliminary stage, there are some other interesting initiative in the framework of BRICS. For example, my country, we trying to promote idea and initiative about independent investment platform of BRICS.
Mm-hmm.
So it also will mean that even besides this NDB, BRICS member states could think about investing. In joint projects, bilateral projects. We've got, for example, idea of what we called grain system of BRICS. So it means that also to promote trade in grains, we have different, mm-hmm. and we can supply to each other, because, for example, we can get maybe rice from Indonesia or from India or from China, mm-hmm. and send wheat from Russia to
Indonesia
and other BRICS members. But also, because, you know, so, for example, my country is under sanctions. Not allowed to shipping, to even to enter Western ports for Russian ships with grains, and to use financial systems for this contract.
Yes.
So we need also, let's say, independent system, and we call it sometimes like grain stocks or something like this. So we are ready to think about, and we have some ideas. We are ready to discuss it with our partners. We already send these initiatives to the Indonesian side and other BRICS members, and we got signals that it's very interesting for our counterparts. So we are ready to continue, but, well, let's be a little bit patient. So it's sometimes we called it in the pipeline now. So, and we hope near future, so we will get already some positive results and practical results in this field.
Okay.
Voice of Indonesia.
So, if we talk about trade between Russia and Indonesia, so in 2024, we recorded approximately $4.3 billion, and trade between both countries, with Indonesia recorded a deficit of $830 million. But shortly after joining BRICS, in the first quarter of 2025, we have the trade turnover increased by 40%. So, by this, in this context of international trade between Russia and Indonesia, in which areas do you think Indonesia and Russia can strengthen their bilateral cooperation? What sectors and what kind of opportunities that Indonesia's can have in Russia, and also Russia's investor can have in Indonesia?
Well, so let's start from statistics, because well, according to Indonesian side, to Indonesian statistics, so Indonesia have shortage and deficit. But according to Russian statistics, so we import more from Indonesia even last year. So I believe so it's different system of how counting all these contracts and import and export. But anyway, so yes, generally the cumulative number is the same. It's more than $4 billion last year, and I agree so that in the first half of this year our bilateral trade is growing, and I very really believe that by the end of this year we will have another big number in our bilateral trade. It means that we have good contacts, and we have interest in trading with each other, and we are not concurrent in this field, because our trade balance is completely different. So we've got a lot of things that we would like to import from Indonesia that we do not have in my country, for example. Well, because it's even regarding climate, it's different in my country and here in the tropical part of the world. So, for example, palm oil, it's maybe half of Indonesian export to Russia. We interested in this product. We ready to continue cooperation with Indonesia in this field. also like, for example, garments, shoes, some other kind of, even some equipments from Indonesia, it's we are interested in.
What about in energy sector?
In energy sector, it's a little bit in other, so it, this is our strength, and we are ready to cooperate with Indonesia, and not only oil and gas, but even some specific kind of coal that used in metallurgy, for example, we exported to Indonesia, lubricants, fertilizers, even some different kind of metals. This is what we supply to Indonesia, and we hope that we can continue, because there are big program of President Prabowo of promoting your country, developed in different sectors, including infrastructure, for example. And we are ready to be in. And energy, for us, it's not only oil and gas, not only coal, but it's electricity also. And we would like to propose to our Indonesian friends cooperation in this field. And we have ideas in quite many areas. Some Russian companies are looking for hydropower, for example. But what is the most interesting, for example, for me, and I believe it should be interesting for the Indonesian side, this is nuclear.
Nuclear.
Yes, because, when I came here last year, I have seen that Indonesia is ready for, sometimes it's called, by some Western countries, just energy transit.
Transit.
Well, I'm not sure how just this transit is, because it looks like Indonesia is ready to commission out all the coal power plants. Mm. But what will be instead? How you can compensate this very big amount of energy production here in Indonesia. I'm not professional maybe here, but I have help from quite many people here in Indonesia, from in Ministry of Energy, of BRIN, of PLN, that solar, wind, and other, let's say, new sources of energy are not enough.
Yeah.
And I really believe that nuclear could be one of helping hand here. And Russia, at this moment, it's the bigger player in the world market of nuclear energy. And we are ready to cooperate in this field.
Is this already in the talk, on the table, negotiation with Indonesian government?
Let's say, since last year, we've got already here a representative from Rosatom. It's a Russian state agency for atomic power energy. And she and my embassy, because we of course support these activities, we are, let's say, in the standby position. We got good cooperation with BRIN, with PLN, with Ministry of Energy, but it looks like there should be another one specific player or stakeholder nominated by President of Indonesia, and with whom we will start official talks about nuclear energy. At this moment, we are ready for anything. And what is our important feature, maybe, of the Russian side? We are ready to provide anything.
Okay.
And what is also one of our, maybe, let's say, tradition? We never propose to foreign customers, to foreign partners, what we do not have in Russia and what we do not use in Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got big NPP, we've got floating NPP modular, and we already have contracts with inland small model NPP. We would like to propose, ready to propose to Indonesia. Regarding floating, at this very moment, Russia is the only country that already constructed and already have such first floating NPP in use.
Okay.
for 5 years already, and for already a couple of years, every year, this and last year, we bring Indonesian correspondents to Pevek City, it's in Russian far north, to see by own eyes what is this floating NPP about. And I have heard from quite many representatives from Indonesian regions, from far islands in Sulawesi, in Sumatra maybe. They are looking for such possibility because it's very useful for them. So we are ready. Just say us to whom
when
we should contact.
And who,
yes, and when. So, but we are in standby position, yeah.
My last questions in this section is, what about, the first is, what about the defense cooperation or trade between Indonesia and Russia? And the second is, we all know that Russia get a ban, they get sanction from several countries, some countries. So what if by doing the business, I think, you know, some Indonesian officials probably like reticent or doubt about some collaboration because of other external pressure. So if Indonesia doing, for example, nuclear energy or a defense cooperation with Russia, and if ever Indonesia gets sanctioned as well, do you think Indonesia is autonomous enough to stand on its own feet without depending more in the Western system? And also, how solid is BRICS to reassure Indonesia that Indonesia will not be standing alone?
Well, of course, Indonesia will not stand alone, and I believe that BRICS countries will support you. And sorry for starting a reply from the end of from your last section of your questions. I'm hope, and I believe that Indonesia and Indonesian president are brave enough that not to be afraid of this very possible, what we call sometimes secondary sanctions from Western countries. Because, yes, you just touched upon some, at least two very sensitive areas, like military and technical cooperation and bilateral financial settlements. And, well, let's say I'm ready to discuss this issue, but do not expect that I will deliver some specific information because I know that representatives from those Western countries are following our activities here, and sometimes even they even dare to call to some agencies, companies, even sometimes medias of Indonesia and asking why you are having, for example, such talks with Russian ambassador. I also believe that your media and RRI are brave enough and not afraid to be criticized for this, yes, because it's normal activities. So, regarding military technical cooperation and financial cooperation, so I believe so, it's, and we telling to our Indonesian partners, to anyone, that this is an ordinary, normal part of bilateral interstate ties, relations between any countries, and of course with Indonesia. Regarding military and technical cooperation, we have a very deep and long history of these relations since your independence, 1950s, 1960s, when we supply a lot of military techniques, arms, equipments to Indonesia. And using these armaments, Indonesia managed to struggle for its independence and, for example, get back Western Irians, which is not now called Papua. So, and I'm very glad that the memory of this cooperation is still here in Indonesia. In not only in minds, but in some practical things. When I last year I used to be in Surabaya and I'm stayed at one hotels, just from my window I saw monument for Pusapati submarines there. This is a Soviet made submarine.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and there are some others, yes. And we have a good contacts with Indonesian Navy, Army, and Air Forces. Yeah.
And they were enjoying naval collaboration.
Yes, and we enjoy very fruitful naval cooperation, and we will continue this cooperation because I believe so. We do not look in what the Western countries are thinking about. This is in our bilateral interests, and I believe it's useful for Indonesia and interesting for us. And this is also normal practice. Why someone believes that Indian, Chinese, Australians, or American or French ships can enter Indonesia, make a call on port of Indonesia, and Russian are not? Why? It's normal practice. We do it for in quite many countries.
Bilateral cooperation.
Yes, this is our bilateral things. And last year, for example, for the first time in our history, we've got a very big bilateral naval exercise. It's called Oruda, also in Java Sea, close to Surabaya. And we already agreed that such exercises will be biannual, and not this, but next year we will have Oruda 2 somewhere in the waters of close to Russia.
Interesting.
So this is, and we will continue. We are ready to cooperate in quite many fields. We do not sometimes announce it officially. We do not announce our plans, but you will see when our ships are here, we organize even. Just this June, we organized a press conference for media, and I saw representative for RRI, for example, there in Tanjung Priok port. When, for example, in some other, we participated in shows and exhibitions here in Indonesia, for example, Indo Defense also in June. So we are here.
You are in Indo Defense as well.
Yes, yeah. In defense ties. So it's and we will continue. You know, some crazy people, crazy minds talking about Russian military bases here in Indonesia. But well, let them talk more carefully constitution of Indonesia.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. And my last questions, as ambassador, what personal message would you like to share with the Indonesian's public regarding the importance of Russia-Indonesia relation in the shifting global landscape?
Well, you know, we have a very big history already told, and it's not only when Republic of Indonesia have proclaimed its independence and such states appeared in the map. Even before, we got a good context centuries before, when Russian ships came to this part of the world and we knew each other. At this moment, nowadays, we are big countries with global agenda, and it is natural that we have good relations, and we saw and still see and will see in the future in Indonesia important partner in this part of the world and globally. Important player, which its own voice, its own interest, that we are ready to take into account, and we are ready to work together and to settle quite many important topics, not only in this region, but for example, I believe that we've got very close position regarding the situation in the Middle East. We are both are concerned what is happening there. So that's why, and also economically, I believe so, with such a huge markets like in Indonesia and in my country, with such a huge possibilities, resources, potential, we are, you know, sometimes we are born to be partners. And that's why I would like, and what is also very important, you know, sometimes now for last maybe 10, 15 years, this Western propaganda make the result of this Western propaganda that in some countries when you are saying that you are Russian, people are afraid of you or trying to get to the another side of the street or something like this. But here in Indonesia, when I'm saying to people that I'm Russian ambassador, like with you, I saw smiles and people saying, even sometimes shouting "Ura" or something like this.
Yeah.
This is very friendly relations.
Yes.
We are still friends, and this is very important. We are very close to each other between people, youth especially, new generation. So that's why I very optimistic when I'm looking at the future of our relations, and I hope that in coming years we will get more practical results. There will be more Russian tourists here, and not only in Bali, for example, and more people from Indonesia in my country, students, maybe even workers.
People
to people exchange. This is very important, and so our cooperation will flourish and grow.
Okay, thank you so much for the interview today, Mr. Tolchinov.
Thank you.
And thank you for having us today with Power Talks, and see you in the next edition.
Voice of Indonesia.
Yogyakarta, apart from being famous for its student city, is also famous for its culinary paradise. For you as foreign tourists, if you plan to spend your holidays in Jogja to enjoy natural beauty in various tourist objects, you must also try this popular culinary, namely Sate Klatak. As one of the unique culinary delights from Yogyakarta, Sate Klatak is a lamb satay dish originating from Pleret sub-district in Bangkalore Regency, Yogyakarta. This satay is quite different from other satays because the main seasoning is only salt and pepper, while other satays use soy sauce or peanut sauce as the main seasoning. Because the main seasoning of this satay uses more salt, some people call it satay uyah, which means salt satay. The satay sticks are not made of bamboo, but from iron bars. The skewers from these iron bars serve as a heating conductor that will make the meat quite cooked inside. Sate klatak is usually served with curry. Although the main seasoning of this sate klatak only uses salt, it can create a savory taste, and the lamb is very tender. At the time of serving, one serving of sate klatak contains two skewers. You can add it with curry sauce, which adds to the deliciousness of this sate. For one serving of sate klatak, complete with curry soup, a plate of white rice, and also a glass of hot fresh tea, you only need to pay 20,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, right?
Yeah.
things I can see. You'll find lovers like you and me. You'll find lovers like you and me. You'll find love even though I'll leave the chronic pain and the misery. You'll find lovers like you and me. You'll find love like you and me.
Listener, have you ever imagined what if your death was celebrated by many of your peers and everyone around you? Imagine there's a parade around town after your death where crowds of people play music and dances. However, all this is done with pure love and no grudge at all. In Bali, the deceased are paraded to the afterlife for a sacred cremation ritual called Ngaben. Ngaben is a Balinese cremation ritual. In Balinese Hinduism, they believe one soul cannot move on until the body is properly purified by fire. So, this cremation ritual is an honorable duty. The deceased are being placed in a bowl-shaped coffin for males, or cow-shaped for females, and then paraded around town, carried by a group of people from the family home accompanied by a line of women with offerings on their head to a public cremation site where there is a cremation pagoda tower or wadu. The body will then be cremated along the coffin and the tower. In the West, people attend funerals in black and silence. In Ngaben, everything is louder and more colorful. It is full of chants and prayers and tradition.